Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and how many pro controllers do you think we're going to need when we raid Area 51 and whoop all the aliens in Smash? And with me, I have...
I'm Brent DiCrescenzo, and I hate what you like. Fuck you, Pitchfork. And fuck your paywall.
And...
I've been stuck on this couch for the last 2 weeks. Or, wait, don't cross couch.
How long has it been?
Hey, no one told you to be there for the whole time. You did that to yourself, man. You could have just...
Well, your door was unlocked.
Yeah.
That's not an excuse. I leave my bathroom door unlocked, but people don't walk in on there when I'm blowing it up. And if you do, that's on you. But, yeah, we were gone for a week. If you listen to Podcast ONA, you will know why.
Uh-huh.
Which you should. Cross-promotional branding. But, yeah, this is episode 137. We're back to the usual business. So, did I miss anything with you guys while I was gone?
Not really, no. It's just been more of the same. Just, working, hot weather... Political discourse because people are fucking stupid.
Second verse, same as the first.
Yeah, it's just been the same old, same old, same old. And I finally bit the bullet and got myself a PlayStation Classic for $20. The thing's a pile of crap, but at least it's really easy to hack.
And it only took like 7 or 8 months. I'm surprised it didn't happen by April.
Yeah. Had to wait for Amazon to lower the price that everyone else did, and, yeah. Super easy to hack this thing. It's kind of astounding. There was no quality control with this thing, but, yeah.
An absolutely embarrassing shit show. And we'll have more on embarrassing shit shows later on in the episode, but, Mark, what about you?
So, let's see, the past 2 weeks, Emmy came visit, all that shit happened around. Went to the movies that weekend. Saw that Spider-Man Far From Home. It's pretty good. I'll say that. This MJ, yeah, she's, better than the other ones. There, I said it. Don't at me, nigga.
So, will you be tuning in to see this MJ on Euphoria anytime soon? Because I hear things get wild.
I heard good things about that.
I hear there's a lot of erect dong in the show.
Damn.
No wonder you're watching it.
Well, I'm not watching it. I don't have HBO because, for some reason, I never thought to put it on my cable subscription. It's the same price as just for the app. I gotta think this over now.
The fragmentation of streaming is a nightmare.
I mean, I could get HBO Get Now or Go, but then again, you know about the new HBO Max. Why do they call it HBO Max?
Yeah.
Like saying, don't they actually call Cinemax now? We are
set for a bubble bursting very soon.
Boy.
Indeed.
That's it for me. That's my week.
But, as for me, again, you can listen to Podcast ONA for pretty much where I was the past couple of weeks. Also, I saw Toy Story 4 over the weekend. Better than I was expecting. Probably shouldn't push their luck with a Part 5. Just throwing that out there. And, with pretty much all that out of the way, now we can get back to the usual business. As always, we start this episode with the new song discussions of... Well, mostly this week. I think maybe one or two stragglers from, like, the week before. But, start with that.
Fortunate for us, the prior week was kind of slow, which is always wonderful.
Indeed. So, remember, there's a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with these songs and know what it is we're talking about. And none of us are going to be happy with these first two songs. It's pretty much torture for everyone here. First, let's start with the torture of me and Alex, because apparently there's a new Asking Alexandria song out there. Thankfully, no sign of an album. For now. But this is a one-off track called The Violence, and oh dear God, what the fuck is this amateur hour, pseudo-southern swagger, radio rock shit, fucking buzz cuts ass,
I'll tell you what it is.
1:30 a.m. compilations being sold to you at Comedy Central ass.
I will tell you what this is. Imagine Dragon Syndrome. But this time, I don't feel bad, because this band sucks, Danny Warstop sucks, and the 7-minute drivel of a video sucks. Ugh.
I didn't even bother with the video. Like, there's no way you're getting me to sit through Asking Alexandria crap for twice as long as necessary.
Yeah, this song is just, it's somehow even worse than the Imagine Dragons-ified tracks from Bring Me the Horizon, which also sucked, but this sucks at least twice as hard. What a stunning feat this is. Thank you, Danny Warsnop. You and your band of derelicts have truly sunk to the bottom of the Mallcore barrel.
Never underestimate the ability to fail even harder. But now to move on to the next song, and oh wait, what's that in the background? Is that cheap fourth grade recorders that I hear? Why, that's the calling card of a future.
Oh, yes. Another, yes, a future track, because this week of hip-hop has been kind of dry, or at least the last 2 weeks, because I ain't, well, at least what we could get, because we're fishing swim here. Like, yes, Future's another track, because, one, he had an album out this year, which I don't give a shit about, and EP last month, again, didn't give a shit about that. So that's another track, so I feature like some Meek Mill and his own boys called Doughboy. That's spelled D-O-E boy. Called 100 Shooters. And oh wow, they really want another mask off, don't they? Because you hear those same ass flutes, or at least some different kind of flutes, the same old like flute shit. I probably be an oboe or some other woodwind instrument, but shit, but yeah, it's there, right? And
okay. I just gotta say, it sounds even worse here, because, like, okay, at least with mask off, the flute sounded like an actual flute. Like I said, this just sounds like a fucking, like, cheap-ass recorder from fourth grade. Like, okay, does anybody here know about the YouTube channel Shitty Flute? The one that does all the shitty flute covers of various popular
kind of,
songs?
Yeah.
This sounds like that. Except it's not a joke. You're supposed to take this seriously.
Ew.
Yeah. But continue.
But yes, like, do you care about to come through this track? It's mostly, look, other second is I'll talk about, you know, what they fought, where they fought, what, like, they got people that got a lot of people on, got a lot of people gunning for them, for people, like, it's, okay, it would be fine, except it's Future we're talking about. And yeah, and like, this one lyric I got from here, which he says, I've been getting richer and richer, damn near piss on bitches. Okay.
Well, that's some pretty bad timing, considering where R. Kelly is residing right now.
Yeah.
In prison.
Reading the room, he has not.
Or at least at the time of this recording, he's still in prison.
Yeah. I suppose it ain't nothing special. Meek Mill does a Meek Mill verse. I don't care. Doughboy, I don't know what the fuck he is, and I don't care. This is another forgettable ass for the track. This, you know, can you just move on to, I don't know, somebody good, somebody I give a shit about.
Oh yeah, look at that. The next song just found its way here, and it's another Lucy from Cupcake. This one is called Aisha, and mildly crosses over in a vaguely tangential way into Alex's territory, given that this is a diss track against Aisha Curry, the wife of Stephen Curry, or Steph, whatever they call him.
Stephen Curry, yeah, I know. Everybody wants to dunk on Aisha Curry. Yada, 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 I've heard it all before. Carry the fuck on.
Well, you seem deeply unamused.
I'm so fucking tired of this crap. It's not even worth getting into. I just don't care anymore. Leave the woman alone. God.
Okay, Mark, dare to continue?
Okay, yeah. This pretty much you know, a diss track, and it's not pretty. It's very non-complimentary. Like, okay, like, you get these lines like, oh, these bitches keep cloning on me, feeling like, got me feeling like Lupita in Us. Our Versace roll with low cuts. I wonder why these guys you hoes up. Yeah, you rocking out of Fashion Nova. Reality, you look like a Fashion Nobra. Damn. All I can say is, shit. I don't know nothing about what's going on with that. I'm just like, well, fuck. This track is the same usual her from Cupcake, which, you know, that's not a bad thing. It's still pretty, like, I mean, it's solid. I mean, it's, well, step up from the last shit I talked about, but yeah.
Right then, time to move on to some noise. We like noise, or at least I like noise. Yes. I'm a very noisy boy, yes, as noise they would say good. In meme parlance. So yeah, this time around we got a new track from noise artist Pharmacon. It's part of a new album, announced called Devourer. And it's coming out August 30th. Ooh, look at that, another August 30th release. Perhaps this one, you know, more niche for people that might not be interested in Tool. And it's only 5 tracks. Ooh, one of those albums. Spicy. But yeah, we have the first song off the album, Self-Regulating System. And it sure does sound like a system that's at least trying to regulate itself. What, with all the stuttering, distorted feedback, digital, steam-like hissing, the clanking of steel and machinery, trudging along at this, like, mid-tempo 6-8 time progression, super fuzzy production, lots of bursts of digital feedback, like a sonic laser cannon. I have no fucking clue what's going on with the lyrics or anything. I can assume it's, you know, probably morbid and bleak, you know, through all the gnarled, mangled, vocal delivery and everything. But yes, this puts my mind at ease, or at least makes it significantly more uncomfortable, but in a way that I find pleasurable.
Okay, then. That's certainly a way to put it. And it's all right. I liked it. It's good.
Right, and since Pharmacon was once featured on the Adult Swim Noise compilation, now it's time to move on to the past 2 weeks of Adult Swim singles. The first one, that we unfortunately had to skip from last week, comes from a project called Victorian Secret, which is evidently a new one from producer Lord Raja. But, plot twist, this is not an electronic project, at least not solely anyway. I can't say there wasn't maybe some production from his involved in there, but apparently Victorian Secret is more going for more of a sort of dream pop, chill wave sort of sound there. Like, you get these waves of these very pretty, lush synth chords and these very dreamy guitar leads floating over top with that kind of soft drum pattern in there. There's vocals, obviously, and of course you can feel them coated in that reverb and echo. Lots of twinkly accentuations in the production where you can just dream, you know, vibe out to the song, let it just coat your entire being. Certainly not a direction I ever expected this Raja person to go in, but I am intrigued. It's definitely a vibe track, and, you know, one that helped de-stress me a little bit during the week at Anime Expo, that the times I got to listen to the song.
I never expected Lord Raja to do something like this. This is on some chill wave 80s type of shit. This is like something I hear an ignorance of some 80s movie. It's like, it feels like this got this summery feel to it, like, which just got me vibing a lot to it. Like, listen to this like a few times, and I'm like, I really digging this shit. I'm looking at what I'm hearing. Like, okay, I should have heard this sooner because I'm pretty lazy, because I heard this like maybe like three to four times today. I didn't count, but yeah, I'm really liking this track.
And now to move on to the most recent Adult Swim single, which is the exact opposite of Common Chill. We got a new rager here, this one coming from legendary death metal pioneers Obituary. This one is called A Dying World, and yes, it absolutely does sound like Obituary. It's got that really huge, trudging, menacing mid-tempo groove, those pounding D-beats, those gritty buzzsaw guitar riffs, the fucking gnarly, just bellowing vocal delivery of frontman John Tardy. It's hard-hitting, it's evil-sounding. What more can be said? It's Obituary to a T.
Yep, it's heavy, it's punky, and it's not very subtle with this message of, yo, the world sucks, fucking do something about it. I like it. More, please.
It speaks to us in a very direct level, is the statement here. And now we move on to an artist that was actually previously, well, I don't know if they made their debut on this year's Adult Swim compilation. I think they did, but yeah, apparently it turns out Zonal, the collaboration project between producer The Bug and Godflesh mastermind Justin Broderick, wasn't just a one-off for a more mother track. No, instead they are doing more with the project. So they're coming out with their debut album sometime in the fall, of course on Relapse Records, because why not? And we have the first two tracks from whatever this project is called. The first of these is called Cage Version. It's a pretty, got these pretty fuzzy, rumbling, lo-fi, like, you know, kind of clap snare drums and shit. This really bubbling, like, rumbling synth bass that keeps droning on over top. It's very slow-paced. It doesn't necessarily have the aggressive gnar of Godflesh, but it feels more like an industrialized, dark ambient version of his follow-up project Jesu. It's very numbing and soothing in a weird sort of way. Like you can kind of feel like, you know, kind of a dream vibe takeover, kind of dark dream though, so to speak. And then of course there's the second track, which is called No Version, which has this intro of this ominous, like, howling that crescendos into this dark, again, dreamlike atmosphere, carried a lot by this buzzing, ripping synth bass, and mostly just kind of loops this sort of pattern for pretty much the entirety of the song. Yep, it's a lot of dark ambient drone, and as someone who likes a cup of that shit from time to time, I might enjoy this. I'll keep an eye out this fall.
Yeah, very dark and entrancing. It's filled with plenty of those dire lo-fi beats to drift off to when you're about to sleep and think of evil dreams. Which is actually the exact opposite of me. I'm a very peaceful person in real life. Just put the whole facade aside. But yeah, this stuff, good stuff.
Now to move on to... Oh, hey, look at that. Another alumnus of the program there. So yeah, looks like songwriter Jenny Havall is coming out with a new album September 13th called The Practice of Love. Following up on her last record, Blood Bitch, really, which is a good album. I liked it. So now we got the leadoff single here, Ashes to Ashes, and this one, it opens up with, you know, her, as usual, excellent vocal performances punctuated by the occasional crescendo of these very soothing kind of synth chords, but as the instrumentation builds, eventually it syncopates a lot more and gets a more bubbly in its rhythms, shall we say. And it continues on that vibe pretty consistently throughout the whole song. Like, I almost want to say it feels like a more art house version of, like, I don't know, a Tame Impala type song or something. You know, with more art to it. But yeah, you know, it's a good song.
Yeah, I do get the arty feel from this. Like, especially from the vocals. Well, yeah, this track is, track's pretty solid.
Yeah, now to move on to the next song here. Quick tangent. You want to know what movie I rewatched during my flights to and from L.A.? Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, still, yay!
Damn good movie.
Yep.
And probably one of the few times in modern history in which Post Malone was mildly tolerable. But that's only because it's one of those songs that actually works significantly better in the context of the movie than it does outside. Which means Mr. Malone is going to get no nice words from me when we have to talk about his new single here. a track Uh-oh. Called Goodbyes, which features Mr. Young Thug. And, oh boy, is Post Malone trying to sound tough? Because it sure sounds like he's trying to sound tough. I mean, you know, when you're listening to the sleepy-ass trap beats and he's going all, don't tell me to shut up when you know you talk too much, but you got nothing to say. I'm like, ooh, saucy postman, how threatening. And then Young Thug, you know, his usual nasally whine where he's threatening to stab you, and I'm like, yeah, sure, Jan. And just a quick advice, piece of advice to Mr. Post here. If you're going to try and threaten someone, it doesn't help if you're caught drinking a Bud Light in the video. Just saying.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of the video, why are there two versions of this? Like, there's a PG version of this, or rated PG version of this, and there's an R-rated version. It's like, this is the difference. It's like, in the R version, he gets, he feels this dude thinking, oh, we gotta fight it off. No, he gets stabbed like a motherfucker. Like, just stab, then he dies, then he comes back from the dead as a zombie walking around town, drinking a Bud Light, which, okay, and you just stumble upon a young, Young Thug just doing his thing. And I will say before, look at the Young Thug. Who's this guy? He sounds got from it. Oh, that's Young Thug, because squawking didn't get until like at least halfway to his verse. It's like, yeah, like that. So yeah, this is it's there.
Yeah, I have nothing to say about the song itself, but I will mention it opened on the Hot 100 charts at number 3. Right behind Bad Guy, which is still at number 2, despite a random as all hell push with a remix with a certain feature artist in order to get it to number 1, which, nope, that didn't work. Because Mr. Lil Nas X is a week away from tying the record for the longest running number 1 song on the charts. And oh, conveniently enough, another remix of Old Town Road dropped featuring Mr. Youngs and the Thug Tano and Mr. Mason Ramsey, a.k.a. the Yodeling Walmart Kid. And it's actually pretty fun, too.
Yeah, it's just how much longer until we end up on an Old Town Road remix?
I think we're going to have to wait before Mariah Carey.
Oh, goddamn.
Yeah.
Mariah Carey, okay. Damn, her too? Okay, who's next? TDE?
You never know.
Or Run the Jewels?
Kendrick, RTJ, Danny Brown, Tyler the Creator. That's the next remix.
We are the world, except it's Lil Nas X, Old Town Road. Make it happen, someone.
But, yeah, now we move on from the blandness to something that technically has some flavor to it, and, wait, Opeth? Already?
Hey, all right!
Man, it's already been 3 years? Wow, where's the time even go? Okay, I guess we should probably leave this one to Alex then, so he can take charge here for a second.
Okay, quick preface. I'm a little ashamed to admit I completely forgot all about Sorceress from 3 years ago. It just sort of came and went, and it just sort of whoop, passed me by. So,
yeah,
my bad.
Most of us forgot about it.
Yeah. The thing is, there's a good number of people who have been feeling Opeth's more mellower 70s prog influenced albums as of late. Sorceress, Pale Communion, a little bit of Heritage as well. That has that might have more to do with Michael Ackerfeldt's lack of interest in doing more prolonged, harsh growl vocals, because if you listen to that Red Rocks Amphitheater concert, he kind of can't do it anymore, and that really sucks, but, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do, and you gotta press on while creating new music, and if that means, you know, giving up one side of the coin in favor of the other, so be it. And so, we have a new album from Opeth, which for the first time ever is going to be released in both English and Spanish version, Swedish versions. That's just a terrible habit I have, like English and Spanish. But no, English and Swedish. If it were Spanish, I'd be more impressed. But yeah. Encauda Venenum, Latin for poison in the tail. It's coming out on September 27th. And as I said, there will be two versions, English and Swedish. Hopefully without Max singing, I am a Swedish plumber. But we have this first track here, Heart in Hand. And if you were a little confused by the length of the video that they put up, you'd think this was a 17-minute song, but it's not. It's 8.5 minutes, and it plays twice, one time in Swedish and the second time in English. That kind of threw me off my game a little bit. I'm thinking, holy crap, is this 17 minutes long? But, oh, two versions. Duh. As for the song, it's a nice blend of the more recent melodic stuff with a little bit of the heavier guitar riffage from stuff like Heritage and Watershed. Then it gets even more mellower with that whole acoustic outro, which I still have to get used to Opeth sounding like that. I made my peace that we're probably never going to get another album like Deliverance or Blackwater Park ever again, and then that's perfectly fine by me, so long as the band continues to pump out quality tracks, like this one. Very quality. It's got a nice blend of the stuff that most people should like from Opeth, and I'm excited to see what else they have in store with this new album. Hopefully they'll do a better promotional blitz for it than Sorceress, because, God, I feel bad that I forgot about that album.
Yeah, you can tell from this one that they're at least trying to sort of feel out where they can find a happy balance between their newer prog rock styles and the, hey, we were a metal band too. In particular, when you're listening to a lot of those off-kilter, like sudden rhythmic shifts, the kind of galloping riffs with the very beefy guitar tones, and even some of the double kick runs in there, it kind of sounds a little King Diamond-esque, if I'm being honest here. This is pretty sweet.
Yeah, I can hear some of that, yeah.
I mean, hell, there's a pretty killer, you know, guitar solo section in there too, which for me is the best part of the song. And then, of course, you know, goes for that pretty trippy break in the middle with that calm, ballady outro. So, again, trying to feel out where the, you know, barriers are of what they can throw in here to try and please everyone. If they can bring it all together on the full album, then, again, hopefully this will stick around in the memory a lot longer than... Wait, what was the last one called again?
Sorceress.
That's what it is. Sorceress. Yeah.
Hey, Nuclear Blast, do a bigger promotional blitz, okay? Roadrunner did it with Pale Communion. That album was pretty damn good. So, yeah, you gotta tell people when these things are coming out, otherwise people will forget.
Indeed. Now, that basically does it for all the new song discussions, and we're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, a little bit of news. You already know what it is. Stay tuned. And we're back. So, you pretty much already know what the news is at this point, because what the hell else could it be? But, before I do that, I feel it's important to pause and take stock of a few things. Now, October 17th, 2018, that is when episode 102 of this podcast came out. So, right after our 100th episode and the start of the show's third year, this is the first time in which we ever brought up the circulating news of a 50th anniversary Woodstock concert festival. That was first time. Episode 102. Keep that number in mind. We didn't have to bring it up again until episode 120, which is the first time we got wind of what the potential lineup could be. Episode 126, which came out on April 24th, that is when the shit proceeded to hit the fan. Now, we have been talking about this story at every potential bullet point necessary since that episode. And reminder, we are now on episode 137. So we've basically been talking about this for, like, basically a single anime core's worth of time. We're basically just an episode short of completing the 12, but at this point we're running the length of, like, Terran Resonance on this shit. Now, the day that we are recording this, it is July 15th, 9:54 p.m. This episode will come out first on Wednesday, July 17th. And that basically puts us at literally 1 month away from when Mr. Michael Lang assured us that this festival would be happening. And I only bring up this vamp because we've had no less than at least 3 different twists and turns in the saga up to this point, literally happening in the past few days. It's just a wild ride, man.
I never expected us to talk about it, this thing for this long, but sure enough, because Michael Lang is a friggin' idiot, the contents must flow like a fine flowing river of sewage.
All stanky shit.
Yeah.
Not even the kind of sewage that George Carlin would swim in as a kid.
Yeah. So, for anyone who might have missed the last twist in this story from a couple of weeks ago, Woodstock 50, scheduled to take place first at Watkins Glen Speedway. That didn't go out as planned. They got kicked out of the venue, and then they tried to find another venue. Vernon Downs, a racetrack, hotel, and casino still in the city of New York. That permit was denied.
Oh, I bet it was.
Yeah, and I wonder why that could be. Maybe it's because the Woodstock brand has become so tainted and tarnished and toxic that nobody wants to be associated with it? Nah, that can't be it, right? In a statement, the organizers of this incredibly stupid festival said, quote, in response to the denial of an event permit by the town of Vernon, Woodstock 50 believes, and I swear I am not making this up, certain political forces may be working against the resurrection of the festival.
Oh boy.
You're just saying that because you hired Donald Trump's attorney to be your legal counsel, ain't it?
I mean, if you want to think it's a gigantic conspiracy, go right ahead. It doesn't make you any less stupid. Continuing on anyway, quote, with a venue chosen, financing assembled, yeah, right, and many of the artists, that's with an apostrophe because, again, stupidity, supporting Woodstock's 50th anniversary event, the organizers are hopeful that their appeal and reapplication will prevail without further political interference. And wouldn't you know
it? Hey guys, just because you keep repeating a phrase doesn't automatically make it true. It's not how it works.
Yeah, isn't that right?
Just saying.
Isn't that right, Lindsey Graham? And wouldn't you know it, that appeal was rejected.
Bogus!
Yeah. Another statement, because of course we have to have statements for every little twist of turn here. Quote, Woodstock 50 this morning, the morning of July 11th, I believe, appealed a decision by the town of Vernon to turn down a permit needed to hold this 50th anniversary festival at Vernon Downs. We also have submitted a comprehensive new application that is nearly 500 pages in length that spells out in great detail our plans for security, traffic, and medical emergencies. Apparently that wasn't enough because it still got rejected. And what was it bad enough? On their official Twitter feed, they put out this. Dear Town of Vernon, Woodstock is committed to bringing peace, love, and music to the Downs. Will you all let peace, love, and music prevail August 16th through 18th?
Oh my god, they put that on Twitter too? Because I saw that shit on Instagram, and I'm like, wow, this is just sad.
We're now going into the realms of political conspiracy theory and absolute... What's the word I'm looking for? Oh yeah, desperation! Like an old man trying to cling on to his youth, thinking, I can still go and run the football all the way to the touchdown goalpost. Yes, I can. Oh, God, my hip.
I can go
and
a distance.
And everybody just tackles Grandpa.
I got a little too into that.
I can go the distance. I can, oh, wait, my leg. Oh, wait, I can still run. Oh. My leg. Oh, wait, who's shooting me? Oh. You can't even get a...
Yeah.
Next thing you know, even we get a bird from his mama's house.
Yeah, and in this report from Variety, they apparently heard that the meeting that the town had for this labeled the festival as a recipe for disaster. You don't say...
Is an understatement.
You don't say. But sure enough, the desperation must continue. Courtesy of Syracuse.com, quote, Woodstock 50 courts Vernon with offers of jobs, VIP lounge, and playground. But not a ball pit, conveniently enough.
Oh, man. Damn. That would have been just... So perfect.
Yeah. Sure enough, yeah. So I guess this is the plan now, or the plan B, trying to get the people of Vernon, New York to convince themselves that this festival must go on for the betterment of the city, for society, for America, and for whatever terrible lines people are going to think of that's going to be used in
that
out of context.
That sounds familiar to what I think what somebody else did to another city somewhere. I think more for either other country to some other festival. What's it called? The wet blanket? No, it called the heat festival. No, the cold festival. No, what was that? What was it called again? Can you remind me what was the festival again? That kind of fucked
let's
up
just do it and be ways? Famous, man.
But here's the thing, though. I can't tell what's actually more entertaining here. The fact that Fyre Festival, we got to witness its implosion on the weekend of, in real time, and the fallout after the fact, or seeing Michael Lang trip and shit over himself as he's trying to run a touchdown.
Yeah.
And he's running in the direction of the other team.
An open house is going to be... or rather has been held at the time of this recording, the days prior to present plans for this show with an expected crowd of 65,000 for the weekend. And they've also mentioned that they will hire locals to work the event and that track owner Jeff Gural will, quote, make a contribution to local nonprofit organizations for the proceeds of the festival. Now, I don't know how that's going to work, but I'm not expecting this to go very smoothly. By the time this is out, you'll all probably know, but yeah, this is getting very desperate. And in case that's not enough, oh boy, there was a very late twist to this whole thing.
A side quest, if you will.
So, a man by the name of Ken Motenot, I hope I said that right, had a little bit of an event planning here in North Carolina, actually, in the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Wow.
The two-weekend Woodstock experience, which is going to have a good bit of... names from the original Woodstock, such as John Sebastian, Jefferson Starship, Canned Heap, 10 Years After, and Melanie, set to take place on the weekends of August 9th to the 11th and 16th to 18th at the Saloon Studios in West Jefferson, North Carolina.
Wait, 16th through the 18th? Why does that sound so familiar?
He knows. But yeah, Western North Carolina. Pretty nice area. Very cozy. Sure enough, from a report from, of all places, Page Six, Mount Tenat received a letter from the firm of Hunton Andrews Kurth on behalf of Michael Lang.
Dun, dun, dun!
Apparently, because this event is using the Woodstock registered trademark, trade name and trademark, it will cause consumers and the trade to mistakenly believe that Michael Lang's Woodstock Ventures has approved or is connected with your activities and will dilute the strength of the Woodstock, which is the trademark, name and mark. That is a direct quote. Yeah, wow. Because a festival in the Blue Ridge Mountains with acts from the 1960s that's meant to be an homage to the old Woodstock experience, that would just be disastrous for the Woodstock name. Not like, you know, trying to peddle massive, massive fraud in trying to convince two cities to host a festival with probably many more concerns than benefits. I'm looking at all of this, how it's unfolding in real time, the desperation tactics, the conspiracy tactics. I'm thinking to myself, my God, Michael Lang, I cannot name a grifter as large as you, and I could think of many. Brad Shrapnel, that weirdo guy who hates women and is afraid of them because, ew, cooties. The Turning Point USA kids because they're a bunch of idiots. Oh, and Vic Mignogna's lawyer. That friggin' idiot. Somehow, Michael Lang, you are atop them all. 30 days to go.
We're just counting down. We're counting down like this is Majora's Mask. And we'll be there when 72 hours remain.
Down the first day, this many hours remaining.
Jesus, this is... We've been covering this for like 3 months now.
Oh.
3-4 months, holy shit.
And wouldn't you know it, if the town planning board decides to uphold the denial of the permits and this whole crap, wouldn't you know it, the promoters have the ability to ask a judge for the New York State Supreme Court to overturn it. How much you want to bet they'll say, get out as well?
Please. In fact, get a camera into that, thing. I need video footage of this.
Woodstock 99 happened. This is why nobody wants it.
Can we get a permit? Fuck no, just get out.
Shit, why don't we put on our own festival at this rate? Apparently it's like any idiot can just try and do it nowadays. It's snakes everywhere. But yeah, so that does it for the news. And so now we got to move on to one of our last bits of business here. That is the new album releases for the week of July 19th, 2019. Starting at the top, we have the newest album from Sum 41 with Order in Decline. We have the latest solo album from Scott Stapp with The Space Between the Shadows. We got a new project from Nas, The Lost Tapes 2. A new project from Maxo Cream called Brandon Banks. Iggy Azalea reminding us that she exists, apparently. With her second full-length album, In My Defense, and Beyoncé releasing her Lion King-inspired soundtrack album, The Lion King, The Gift. So, now to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, the name is Aura of Azure. I had to think about it for a minute. I was trying to do another pitchfork joke, but I couldn't think of anything in time. But, yeah, go do that.
Well, I mean, if you want a pitchfork joke, you could just say pitchfork, because they are a joke. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Of course, as always, Matt's Happy Media on Twitter, and on my site, manhappywhenever.com, And yes, for the past, well, 2 weeks, I've been doing, you know, anime for the present time of the season, all that type of shit. You see, you know, the new anime to come this season. Although, I'll say, I've been liking that show, Ashiya Lost in Space, which I thought, wow, I clicked with this shit.
Yeah, things like that happen sometimes. But anyway, you can, as for me, you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and CuriousCat at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. The audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution. Just subscribe and hit the bell tap so you're notified when stuff goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SurrealReso. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website SurrealResolution.com where you can find written articles, Decibel Boost, and podcast O&A as well. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat so you can marvel at the atrocities being inflicted upon the world by Kentucky Fried Chicken. Why Cheetos?
And what's the Mountain Dew they got? Sweet Lightning? Or I think it's a Peach and Honey Mountain Dew. That's what he's gonna heard. It's Peach and Honey.
I don't know. Isn't that a Black Dynamite character? I think. But anyway, yeah. And last but not least, be sure to, of course, a gracious thanks to the producer, Mr. E, for letting me use his shit for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, see you back again next week. And until next time, shit, now I kind of want Mountain Dew. We'll be right back.